when you were a little darling and you were in Sunday school, if you were. The conquest of Jericho. Of course, we are soldiers of Christ. And the only way a soldier can overcome is by fighting. There'll be no crown, ultimately, without conflict. And we have much conflict in our world between the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're always in some kind of conflict. The Christian life involves challenge because, again, we're fighting enemies. And, of course, the world, the flesh, and the devil are united against Christ. There are, of course, churches that are taking the battle hymns out of the hymn books, find it offensive, like some are taking the blood hymns out of hymn books, and have been for decades now, because it's offensive. The battle songs are taken out of some hymn books because violence and war disturb people. Well, I should hope so, but just because it disturbs us, we cannot deny that battles and violence exist. One of the greatest and major themes of the Word of God is God's war against Satan and against sin. And of course, Satan was defeated at the cross. And of course, when Christ was taken down and buried, he didn't stay in the tomb, did he? 3 days later, he rose. 40 days after that, he ascended and is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. And of course, it all began in Genesis 3:15 when God declared war on Satan, which was ultimately won on Calvary. And of course, the final demonstration of victory is when Jesus Christ will come back with his saints, set up his kingdom. And we're going to be a part of that if we're born again. Revelation 19. We all love peace and goodwill, don't we? When Christmas is rolling around and we think about peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Actually, it's peace on earth, goodwill, or peace toward men of goodwill. That's literally how it's stated. Peace to men of goodwill. And that, of course, the only one that can offer peace is the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. There, we can cry peace and safety. There is no peace and safety in this life, is there? Except for in Christ. But we can't ignore the spiritual battle that rages on. The wolves want to destroy the sheep. So Israel's victory over Jericho illustrates three principles that help us in our spiritual conflicts. And that's what we're going to look at. Divided it up into three chunks. And we're going to look at these principles of spiritual conflict and victory that apply to us, no matter what kind of challenge we might face. This will work in any challenge. Number one, found in verses 1 through 5. Number one, before the challenge, remember that we fight from victory, not just for victory. We fight from victory, not just for victory. What do you mean? Well, the war's already been won. So we have that. We know how what the end is. We know how it's written in the Word of God. We know what's going to happen, don't we? It doesn't mean we don't go through battles and skirmishes and go through hard times, because we do. But we know the war is won. Christ defeated Satan on the cross of Calvary. And, of course, we know God accepted that because he did not remain dead. He was resurrected. All right, so somebody read verses 1 through 5. Do we have any volunteers? Okay, George, go ahead.
You know, I'm going to be shocked one day when someone raises it. Now Jericho was straight because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given in thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him.
All right. Thank you, George. Okay, before the challenge, remember that we fight from victory, not just for victory. We stand in victory because of what Christ accomplished. He has defeated all of our spiritual enemies. Number one, he defeated Satan in the wilderness when he was tempted. Remember, used the word of God. Three times he denounced Satan's attempt to get him to change allegiance. Secondly, during his earthly ministry, Matthew 12, 22 through 29. I'm going to turn there and read those real quick. Matthew 12:22-29. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a demon, with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And so, let me see what I say through 29, 27. And if I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Jesus announced victory. And the victory is found in him. And then number three, we stand in victory because of his resurrection and ascension. Ephesians 1, 19 through 23. So number one, Jesus defeated Satan in the wilderness. Secondly, during his earthly ministry, Matthew 12. And then number three, in his resurrection and ascension, Ephesians 1, 19 through 23. Somebody want to read those? Ephesians 1, 19 through 23. Anybody? Are you in the mood? All right, go ahead, Becca.
And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
All right. Thank you, Becca. And then, of course, the Lord intercedes for us. And as he intercedes for us, he helps mature us and helps us accomplish his will. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect or equipped with all that we need in every good work and everything to do his will, by working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Then there are three steps that are involved in the victory. Three steps that are involved in the victory. Number one, the fear of God. Look at verse 1. Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. God had promised to send his fear before them. And we talked about Rahab, how she said the people were in great fear. They had heard what God had done even in Egypt. And you can write down if you'd like Exodus 23:27. God had promised to send his fear before them, Exodus 23, 27. Mary, Queen of Scots, feared John Knox's prayers, she said, more than any army. John Knox, that great Scots and preacher. In our society, there's fear, or I should put it this way, more in a question form. In our society, is there a fear in the hearts of those outside of the church of what might be accomplished through the prayers of the saints? You think there's many people out there that say, man, I don't know, I better think twice about this. That Church of Jesus Christ is praying. Maybe it's because we haven't done a whole lot to display the power of God to a lost and dying world. I don't know. Maybe it's because the church is so much like the world that folks don't see enough difference to really notice. And certainly there are more churches that are beginning to believe some of the things that the world believes, which are contrary to Scripture. Even the Pope is beginning to crumble. Have you been listening to the news? He's now put a stamp of approval on perversion, which I don't have any confidence in any anyway. It's doubtful that he knows the Lord as Savior. So number one, the fear of the Lord. Number two, the promise of the Lord. Verse number two, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given. It's a done deal. The promise was made. It hadn't happened yet, but it might as well had. So if God makes promises to us in the Word of God, can we trust that they're true? Will he fulfill them? He will. And so Joshua knew and the people knew that God had promised, and so it would come to pass. I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. The promise of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, the promise of the Lord. Victorious Christians know that the promises of God are true, and we know them by meditating on the Word of God. If we don't meditate on the Word of God, then how are we going to know the promises of God? So we know the promises by getting in the Word of God, and we believe the promises because the Word of God generates faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But then we also must go a step further and reckon it to be so. Count it as true. Reckon on the promises and then obey God. Jesus said in John 16:33, last part of the verse, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. When he talked about tribulation coming, he said, but hey, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Christ has conquered the world, the flesh, and the devil, and those are our three enemies, and what we need to do is reckon it to be so. Or as one commentator put it, reckon on this truth. Don't just believe it, reckon it to be so. There's a difference. Romans 6. Reckon is one of the key words. No yield, reckon. Count it as so, as though it's been. It's kind of like this. If someone writes us a check, what do we have to do in order to cash it? Yeah, we gotta sign the back of the check, right? And so when we reckon something is so, we're signing the back. The Lord has written the check and signed it through the blood of Jesus, and then we say, yes, I believe. Oh, do you? Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and endorse the check. And so we reckon it to be so. Number one, the fear of the Lord. Number two, the promise of the Lord. Number three, the instructions of the Lord, 2-5. And you should, actually, it should be three. Yeah, I can't read my own printing, 3-5, not 2. And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. I can't even imagine living in Jericho. And you see thousands going around the city, and then they're gone. Nightfall, they're at camp. Next day, early in the morning, here it goes again. For 6 days. Wouldn't that freak you out? Wow. And then in verse 4, and seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. Anybody here ever watch a Minnesota Viking game, a home game? I'm not a Minnesota fan. I think you are, aren't you? And they have that hideous horn. I mean, so annoying. I mean, all through the game. And every time I read this, I think of the Vikings. And the horn, is it a ram's horn? Yeah. Well, that's what it would sound like, except a whole lot more. And so if you were in Jericho, you had to listen to that. Oh, my goodness. That wouldn't be good. Seven trumpets, seven times what they do. Of course, they amplify it there at the stadium. The seventh day you shall compass the city seven times. The priest shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall flat. No one can say, well, it fell because there's a whole bunch of the army pushing on it, or they battered it, or the wind blew really, really hard and blew the wall over. Now, number one, there were two walls, an inner and outer wall. The outer wall was 12 feet thick. The inner wall was 6 feet thick. And then they had beams that went across the walls, and there would be houses on there. And so there's no way that anything could have blown it over. And what happened is God collapsed it upon itself. It just went, like, do you ever see a building where they put the charges in the exact perfect spots and the thing just goes.
I was wondering how Rahab's house survived because her house was in the wall.
God, that part of the wall didn't come tumbling down. Yeah. One little spot. You got a city and you got double wall all the way around it, and the only house that didn't fall was the harlot's house. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Talk about the grace of God. Oh, my goodness. The wall shall fall down flat. And so, with that in mind, we can reckon on his promises and obey him, and the victory will be ours. The walls of conflict and difficulty will come tumbling down. Now, it doesn't mean that all of our problems are taken away and we never have to endure anything, but it means even if we have to endure, our God is there. He gives us strength. He holds us up. And we can rejoice even in tribulation if we're walking hand in hand with the Lord. So, number one, before the challenge, remember that we fight from victory, not just for victory. Number two, during the challenge, remember that we overcome the enemy by faith. We overcome the enemy by faith. Verses 6 through 16, along with verse number 20. So, let's divide that up into two chunks. If somebody would read 6 through 12, and then 12 through 16 and verse 20. So who wants to do 6 through 12? All right, Bill. And then 13 through 16 and verse 20. You want to, Gary? All right, go ahead, Bill. You can just go ahead, and when he finishes, Gary, you can go ahead and do your part, okay?
Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord. So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the seven priests, bearing the seven trumpets of Aaron's before the Lord, advanced and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout." So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord.
And seven priests, bearing seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned to the camp, so they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day, compassed the city about the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, "Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city." So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city.
All right, thank you both. Now, the city was up on a hill, so in order to invade this city, not only did you have the walls to contend with, but you had a very steep climb to get to the city to defeat it. But of course, Lord had other plans. What they would basically do is they would starve the people. They'd keep anybody from going in and out, and then eventually the city would starve. They'd have to open up. They'd have to get out. All right, so we overcome the enemy by faith. Hebrews 11, verse number 30. Just going to read one verse real quick here. Hebrews 11. And verse number 30, let's see here. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, and after they were compassed or surrounded about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And then, of course, 1 John 5:14, which is an awesome verse. I love this verse. 5:14. That's not the one I'm thinking of. Let's see. Hang on just one sec. 5:4. Okay. 14 is good, though. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. But verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The word even is in italics. You could leave that out. It was added by the translators. So you could say, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Our faith. This is the victory. Joshua first shared the plans that God gave him with the priests. The ark, of course, had to be in place, which represented the presence of God. Accepting God's plan, talking about us, if we accept the plan of God, believe the plan of God, yield to the plan of God, God's presence is guaranteed, and that guarantees the victory. Exodus 33, 12 through 17. You can write that down if you'd like. And then he instructed the soldiers. The people basically watched in silence. They couldn't say anything. They just had to watch in silence until day 7. So the leaders had to receive the instruction from God. Those then who followed the leaders had to obey. They couldn't, I mean, it was important they didn't rebel like they did in the wilderness. Otherwise, that would lead to discipline and defeat. Both their faith and their patience were tested. Have you ever noticed that God is never in a hurry? He's never in a hurry. I mean, look at how long God has been patient with America. How long will that patience last? The only way, of course, to grow in faith is to accept new challenges and trust that God is going to give the victory, because he loves to do that. All right, number one, during the challenge, remember that we fight from victory, not just for victory. Number two, during the challenge, remember that we overcome the enemy by faith. And then number three, after the victory, remember to obey God's commands and give him the glory. After the victory, remember to obey God's commands and give him the glory. All right, somebody, if you would, read verses 17 through 19. Anybody? 17 through 19. All right, Miss Betty? And then 21 through 27. 21 through 27, anybody? All right, George. All right, go ahead, Miss Betty.
And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city.
And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and women, young and old, ox and sheep, and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put in the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at the time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country.
All right, thank you both. All right, after the victory, remember to obey God's commands and give him the glory. Four instructions were given to the soldiers after they took the city. Number one, they were to devote the entire city to God, verses 17 through 19. Ordinarily, soldiers would share the spoils. But this first battle was consecrated totally unto the Lord. So the silver and the gold were to be taken, and they were to be devoted entirely to God. But the whole thing, the walls crumbling down, all everything involved, the killing of everyone in the city and all the animals and everything living, all of this was to be dedicated. This was dedicated to God. This was his plan. Deuteronomy 20, verse number 14. You can write down next to that point if you'd like. Then secondly, they were to rescue Rahab and the family. Now, the reason that God saved her, Hebrews 11, 31, was because of her faith. She became, of course, an ancestress of the Lord Jesus Christ. She married a man named Salmon. And, of course, you can find her lineage, Christ's lineage in her. Like Jericho, our present world's under judgment. And eventually, of course, there will be a final fall when Christ defeats. You know, Satan's going to rally the armies. He's going to be loosed after being bound for 1,000 years at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. Then he will be loosed. He's going to gather an army together. Can you believe there'll still be some? Still. Man. That's how hard the human heart is and how powerful Satan is. And then, of course, he will ultimately defeat all of his enemies. No matter what walls and gates the present world builds, the lost cannot hide from the ultimate judgment of God, can they? Then number three, he said to destroy the people. Verse 21, destroy the people. God will not tolerate compromise with sin. God will not share in our lives if other gods are there, because he will not allow compromise with our enemies. If this would have been true, if Israel would have destroyed the people consistently and lived according to the teachings of the Word of God, would it have been necessary for God to include the book of Judges in the Bible, if the people had done what they were supposed to do? No, there'd be no book of Judges. They had over 400 years to repent and get right, from Abraham to Moses, 400 years. And, of course, they didn't. They were in bondage. And then lastly, burn the city down. Burn the city. Deuteronomy 4:24, thy God is a consuming fire. Also in Hebrews 12, verse number 29, God will not allow us to divide our love and service between him and false gods. Someone has said, sin is fuel for the wrath of God. Sin is fuel for the wrath of God. And just as God had promised, in verse 27, so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country, just as God said. Questions or comments? We did not get into a lot of gory details. We hit the high points. Most of us are pretty familiar with the story of Joshua. What a great, true story. It's not a fable, it's true. All right, let's go over the prayer list together. Thank you, George. Continue to pray for the church. Pray that God would build his church. We'd see some folks saved and added to the church. Pray for our nation as it continues to crumble around us, the foundations of our nation. Pray for Israel, great victory for them. That Ukraine war would be settled between Ukraine and Russia. This thing is dragging on and on and on and on. I don't know what's left in Ukraine. There's anything standing, pray for that nation. Pray for law enforcement, first responders. Pray for our missionaries around the world that are preaching the gospel. We got word here this week. It's now Lottie Moon. I know that it's hard. We just went through all the Cox, and money is not, you know, rolling and flowing. Times are hard. Inflation's way up. But be in prayer what God might have you to do regarding the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. You'll be receiving information about it really, really, really soon. We have three main offerings. Of course, Easter will be the next one. There's a pretty good break between the Easter and the Old Cox, but the Old Cox and Lottie Moon are boom, boom. So I understand that. But let's pray and see what God can accomplish through us. Then pray for Mark and his health struggles. Lori, that have you been eating a lot of iron so you get all ironed up? I got some liver I could give you. That'll fix you up.
What will?
Liver.
I'll do without iron. I get the shot.
My liver's good, isn't it? Yeah, man, it's good stuff. Barbara hated, man, when I met her, I said, you ever make liver? She turned green. Are you serious? You like liver? I said, oh, yeah. My mom would fry it in bacon grease. If you do it right, you can cut it with a fork, okay? Most people don't know how to make liver. They fry it way too long, and it gets like shoe leather. And who wants to eat shoe leather? So we went to visit my parents one time, and I had my mom make liver, and she loved it. And so after that, we didn't have it often, but I would make the liver. 3 minutes, you know, if it's about a quarter or so, or 3/8 of an inch thick, 3 minutes on a side, and I'm not kidding you, cut it with a fork. But anyway, that's another story. I didn't mean to gross you out. Some of you, you're kind of a little shade of green, but it's so good. It's good for you too, as long as you don't eat it every week. You know what I'm saying? Pray for Missy Nixon, Barbara Mason having cancer treatments. Becca goes Tuesday for surgery. So pray for Becca. It's not a dangerous surgery, but anytime you're put under, there are dangers involved. So pray for Becca. Pray for how's little Brody doing?
He kind of had a spell this week.
He did.
The doctors have never gotten. But I'm going to call Bethany and ask her about it. This is coming from Karen, because Karen's his teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And she said he just kind of got purple in the face, like.
So oh, wow.
I don't know what's going on with Brody. You would never know there's a thing wrong with him, but he gets quiet and I don't know. And
yeah.
Had, what, how many weeks?
Yeah, it's been a good while. Continue to pray. How's Mason doing?
He had a test done this week, but we don't know the results yet. We're going to call him tonight, see if he's heard anything.
Okay. And then Kelly went this week to, they were supposed to send some information, and whatever channel they used to send the information was down. First the doctor was sick, then the doctor was sick, and then finally she gets another appointment. She's got a mass, small, little like a pea-sized thing. They want to figure out what it is. And so finally now, again, she has another appointment. They had to basically send her home and said, well, we can't get the information. It's not coming. They finally got it. Now she's going back. Is it Wednesday? And then Donald Alexander, he was ready to go home from the hospital, but they checked his oxygen count. This is, I'm thinking it would be Anna Dale's. I thought she said brother, but it must be brother-in-law, right?
Donald is one of her best friend's son.
Donald Alexander is?
Yeah.
Best friend's son?
Yeah.
I thought this was an older guy. Okay. I could have swore she said that he...
Brother Walter has had
some. Oh, okay. Walter's your brother. Well, anyway, Donald was ready to go home from the hospital. And his oxygen count was found to be really low, so he had fluid build up in one of his lungs. And so they had to keep him and remove that fluid. And then I forgot to write this down. Message from Tim. We won't be there today. We're going with Mom and Dad out of town. Okay. Annadale sent me a text, and she said, urgent prayer for Donald Alexander. The cancer doctor had said he'd be surprised if he makes it 2 months. And his mom found out that she has COVID, and one sister has COVID. So pray for Donald, pray for his mom and one of his sisters. Do what? And then Mary is still, I did hear from Mary. She's got another medication. They're out there now. Is Mary coming? Excellent. She said she'd come back. This was like Thursday. She said she'd be back soon. She'd go an hour without coughing. That's why I didn't come to Sunday school, because she's hoping she can make it an hour. So she's really had a tough time. Jeff, guy that visited a couple times, his daughter Jessica was here last week, remember? He's having surgery on the 19th, and then his wife Vicky is still battling severe headaches and trying to figure out why. And then a neighbor of theirs, granddaughter, has meningitis. Finley is her name. And then pray for Diane Floor, someone that works with Becca. They found cancer lymph nodes. All right, so let's stand together. Yes?
Kelly's appointment is tomorrow, not Wednesday.
Tomorrow, okay. Pray for Kelly. She goes tomorrow to find out what's going on. All right, let's stand together. Our Father, thank you that you are God, and we can count on you. We desire, though, your will be done. We all have things that we'd like to see, but Lord, we know what's important is that your will is accomplished. Help us, Lord, to place ourselves under your authority, to recognize your lordship in our lives, and to be obedient to you. We pray, Lord, for those we called out to you that need a physical touch of healing, that you would heal them. We thank you that Mary's here today, but she's really, really been struggling with the cough. We pray you'd heal her. Continue to work in Mark's life and heal him. And Lord, I pray you'd watch over Becca as she goes. Guide the surgeon's hands as they operate, that everything would be smooth and it'd be a quick healing, and everything would go according to your plan. We pray, Lord, you bless the coming hour. We pray, Father, that you would work in a powerful way during the message. And Lord, as we sing together and pray together and worship together and fellowship together, may you be glorified in all that's said and done. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen.